This is the third in our series, What is New Jerusalem? I read that strange description in Revelation 21 of that New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, with its streets of gold, its gates of pearl, precious stones in its foundation, and so on. And we are trying to give you a logical answer as to just what that vision was supposed to mean or to represent. So far, we have demonstrated that it is a description of something on the earth, that it is not, as some teach, a romantic description of heaven itself. Last week, we saw that description in Revelation 21 is not to be taken literally, but the vision is symbolic. We are not to expect it to be fulfilled in a huge cube city being lowered down from heaven, but to be fulfilled in something on the earth whose description would metaphorically match that of Revelation 21. In looking up the phrase, the holy city, we found another name for it, Zion, and there are scores of passages in the Old Testament prophets about Zion. We read some of them last week. We'll continue our study this week and show the logical and biblical reason why the angel told John that this city, New Jerusalem, was the bride, the Lamb's wife. Later I'll explain the symbolism of the gates of pearl or the pearly gates, the streets of gold, the reason for the names of the tribes of Israel in the gates, and so on. I do pray you can follow in your Bible, or at least write down the passages I mention and read them later, because this is a great message of hope, a message to help you understand the time of tribulation in which we find ourselves, and which will get worse, and what will come out of this as the old earth passes away in great cataclysmic upheavals. In Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem is called the Holy City. In Isaiah 52, it is called Zion, and we found by following the word Zion through the Old Testament that it was a name given to the regathering, or the place of the regathering, of the Israel people which was prophesied to come. Most of you Bible students know that the Israel nation was scattered out of old Canaan land into Assyria between 740 and 700 B.C., over 700 years before Christ, leaving only a remnant called the Judah kingdom in Canaan land. Then later, the rest of Israel, this Judah kingdom, was taken to Babylon, and only 50,000 of them returned to the old city of Jerusalem 70 years later. During all of this time, the prophets continually wrote and spoke of a future great regathering of both Israel and Judah. Most of these prophecies, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Micah, and so on, use the prophetic name Zion when referring to this regathering of Israel. In Joel 3:17, Zion is called, quote, my holy mountain. And then in Isaiah 57, regarding God's holy mountain, or Zion, or New Jerusalem, we read this in verse 13. He that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. In my book, the Old Jerusalem is not the New Jerusalem. I left many other passages which make it plain this Zion of Bible prophecy is a land, that it is not off up in heaven, and in fact the Bible has literally pages of descriptions of that land by which we can recognize it today. I won't list all of those on the radio. It would take too much time, and they are in my book, but I will read a few passages which will help you see the prophetic New Jerusalem cannot possibly be in the old land of Palestine. It is far too small to fit the description given in God's holy word. These will be in the Old Testament. Then I will call your attention to how they fit the description we read of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21. So keep one finger in your Bible in Revelation 21. Turn to Zechariah, the second from the last prophet in the Old Testament. Zechariah 1, verse 14, God says, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. And remember that word jealous, for it is used several times in relation to the jealousy of a husband over his bride. And we'll have more to say about that in a few moments. I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. In verse 15, he expresses his displeasure with the heathen. Then verse 16, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. There are three comparables here with the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21. First, God will be there. Second, His house, or as it says in Revelation 21, His temple will be in it. And this strange phrase, a line shall be stretched forth upon it. In Revelation 21, John writes in verse 15, that the angel to whom he spoke had a golden reed with which he measured the New Jerusalem. A line is a measurement, and this is verified in Zechariah, just six verses later, Zechariah chapter 2, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. That is what the angel did to New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, measured it and gave the measurements. Here in Zechariah, I believe we are reading about the same identical entity which is described in Revelation 21. And listen to more of Zechariah's description of the Jerusalem being measured by a line. Verse 17, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Here is that title Zion used with Jerusalem again as in Isaiah. But don't miss that other phrase, my cities. That is a plural term, my cities through prosperity, or the margin says, through good, shall be spread abroad. So whatever Zion is, and Jerusalem is here in Zechariah, it consists of more than one city. It is cities, plural, and it is not to be just in all Canaan land, but to be, quote, spread abroad, unquote. That would require a much larger fulfillment beyond Palestine. So that we do not miss this plurality of cities, which would constitute Zion and Jerusalem, the prophet repeats almost exactly the same thing, using slightly different words, by quoting the angel or the man who was measuring Jerusalem in the second chapter of Zechariah, and we read in verse 3 and 4, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Towns is plural, as cities was in the earlier verses. Multitude of men and cattle indicates prosperity or good. That was the word used in chapter 1, verse 17, to describe Jerusalem's state when it would be, quote, cities spread abroad. Towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein is a familiar phrase that should lead most Bible students directly to Ezekiel 38, the so-called Russian chapters where Gog and Magog are to invade the mountains of Israel. Verse 8 says Gog and Magog would come against the mountains of Israel. Verse 11 says of Gog, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. They would, of course, be almost certainly the towns without walls of Zechariah 2. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 38 gives Gog's purpose for this invasion of the mountains of Israel, to take a spoil and to take a prey. And that means to rob and plunder, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. Remember I said last week, this Zion, or Jerusalem, was to be the place where Israel would be after they had been regathered out of the nations. Upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods. Zechariah called Jerusalem a place of towns without walls because of the multitude of cattle. Ezekiel calls it the mountains of Israel, a land of unwalled villages where the people have gotten cattle and goods. Both prophets write of a great and prosperous land. Jesus Christ, of course, knew of these multitudes of cities of Zion, which would be inhabited by Israelites in this age, for in Matthew 10, he gave his disciples instruction to, quote, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then he said in verse 23, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The original Greek would indicate that could mean ye shall barely have gone over the cities of Israel by the time the Son of Man returns. But anyway, Jesus was indicating the going over of the cities of Israel with the gospel of Christ was going to be a large undertaking hardly completed by the time he returned. Such could not be the case if this Zion or Israel was to be only in Old Palestine or Old Jerusalem. That could have been accomplished in weeks or months at the most. To sum up briefly before we go on, Revelation 21 and each of these prophets give us descriptions which have almost identical phrases so that we can be reasonably assured they are all writing about the same thing when they write of Jerusalem. And they are talking about cities, plural, towns, plural, prosperity, cattle and goods, a land, and a land so rich that Gog and Magog would attack it in order to plunder and rob it. It would be the land called Zion, into which the Israel people would have been regathered, and God would be in it, as would also be the Lamb of God. All right, let's go on. Can we find more parallels in prophecy for the strange titles or symbols used in Revelation 21 in relation to New Jerusalem? Why is it called the bride, the Lamb's wife, if it is a land or the place of regathered Israel? I thought the Gentile church was the bride of the Lamb. And here Pastor Emery comes along and says, no, New Jerusalem is the bride, and it is Zion, and it is the land or place of regathered Israel. Turn again to the prophets. I'll have to summarize this to some extent, but most Bible students know that God called Israel his wife following the covenant ceremony at Mount Sinai. In Isaiah 54:5, God says to Israel, for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. In Jeremiah 31, in the middle of the promise of a new covenant to Israel, God says of the Israelites who came out of Egypt, for I was an husband unto them. God was Israel's husband. Israel was God's wife. That is why God called Israel's worship of other gods whoredom and accused them of adultery. Israel was to worship God only, who was her husband. When she worshipped other gods, she was committing adultery. After Solomon died, Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, or the house of Israel, and the southern kingdom, or the house of Judah. Israel worshipped golden calves and the gods of the heathen, and God divorced her. As we read in Jeremiah 3 and verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. This divorce is described by the prophet Hosea in chapter 1 as God sent Hosea to the northern house of Israel to send them captive into Assyria. Then we read in Hosea 2 and verse 2, "Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband." Israel was now divorced, cast off, driven out of Canaan land. But the Judah kingdom was not divorced. In that same passage in Jeremiah 3, which is a whole chapter about Israel's adultery and divorce, if you will read verse 8 and on, you will see that Judah is called Israel's treacherous sister, and that she went and played the harlot also, and that is in verse 8, but you will find no record of Judah's divorce and her captivity, unlike that of the northern house of Israel, was only temporary, only 70 years in Babylon. That is why a remnant of Judah came back to Jerusalem under Ezra and Nehemiah, and this remnant of the Judah kingdom then provided the faithful Israelites, of whom came John the Baptist, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all of Jesus' apostles except Judas. This Judah remnant, the undivorced sister of divorced Israel, was comprised of the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and a few Levites. Mary was of Judah, of the house of David, and we know Jesus inherited David's throne through that Davidic line. The disciples all came from Galilee except for Judas, and Galilee was mostly occupied by Benjamites. Paul, of course, was a Benjamite also. This part of Israel was not cast off, not divorced, but this was only a small portion of the whole people of Israel. Then, in the very passages about God divorcing Israel, we find that God promised to remarry Israel and make Israel his wife again. In Hosea, after God describes Israel's desolate state when she is no longer his wife, he says of her in verse 7, Hosea 2, "And she shall follow after her lovers," that means her other gods, "but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." In verse 16, God says, "A day would come when Israel no longer called God Lord, but would call God Ishai, or my husband." Verse 19, God says, "I will betroth thee unto me forever." Verse 20, "I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness." And then in verse 23, he prophesies a reversal of what is written in Hosea 1 in verse 9. Here, Israel, instead of not being God's people, would then become God's people. And God, who was not their God after they were divorced, would become their God again. All of this to be accomplished by what? By a remarriage, a new marriage ceremony, where Israel would become the bride, God's wife. That is why, when John described New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 as the bride, the Lamb's wife, he told us that on its gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. That is why the prophets spoke of the holy city, Jerusalem, Zion, always in relation to the regathering, the reconstituting of the house of Israel. New Jerusalem is Israel. And Israel, quote, "prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." As Paul said of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven in Revelation 21 and verse 2. That is why Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh, called himself the bridegroom when speaking to his Israelite disciples. He was God, come to prepare for his own remarriage to Israel. New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 should now be coming clearer to my listeners as a symbolic vision of a redeemed Israel, regathered in their vast and prosperous land, and being readied to be remarried to her God, her husband, again. No Gentile bride here, no vision of a far-off heaven in Revelation 21, no renovation of the old literal city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is not going to marry some non-Israelitish, Gentile, or heathen church, as we hear so often today. Jesus Christ came to fulfill that which was written in the prophets about Israel. Most of you listening to the sound of my voice are of that Israel race. You know it by the Spirit of God that is calling you to Jesus Christ. And you know it by the almost instinctive desire that God has placed within you to be a part of that great marriage of which so much is written in the Bible. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. I'll have a little more to say on that Bible description of New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb, and the remarriage of the Israel people to their God in the next broadcast, God willing. And I'll relate it to what is happening today. Listen next week to the conclusion of this series as I read Jesus' description of the pearly gates and the prophet's description of how come New Jerusalem has streets of gold, and will show you, perhaps for the first time, just why God had to die before he could remarry his Israel wife. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.